The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. There's a lot of saints who converted their lives from lives of very serious sin to lives of deep friendship with God. A lot of saints. And there's so many examples. You can talk about St. Mary Magdalene, or you can talk about St. Augustine, or you can talk about St. Francis of Assisi. One of my favorites is St. Teresa of Avila, who, by her own admission, didn't even become serious about her faith until she was about 40. And look what she did. A lot of saints who wandered far away from their father's house and managed to find their way back home. St. Paul was not like that. Here's the feast today of the conversion of St. Paul. The conversion of St. Paul was not the conversion of somebody who was a terrible, terrible sinner and finally found his way into the life of grace. Paul was a devout observer of the law of Moses. He was a deeply religious and prayerful man who tried with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength to serve the living God. He just didn't in the same category as a lot of those other saints, you know, who used to be sinners. You know what Paul's conversion is really all about? It's about the conversion of his heart from a misguided love to a love of what's actually true and good. Now, in that sense, I want to tell you, we're living in a world of potential St. Pauls. And that's the encouraging message that I want to share with you here today. You know, because Paul went about, he was persecuting the church, right? We all know that. We heard the first reading. Persecuting the church mercilessly. And he thought he was doing God's work in shutting down the church, because the church was acting against everything that he thought was good. It was against temple worship, and it was against the Sabbath observance, and it was against the dietary laws of Moses. And Paul thought, you know, if I shut down this terrible abomination, I'm actually doing God's work. What changed St. Paul's life? One thing. He met Jesus Christ. Just like you heard in your first reading. Just like you heard in your first reading. Now notice, this is an aside, and actually it's an entirely separate homily. But Jesus says to Paul, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Notice that. He doesn't say, "Saul, why do you persecute the church?" He doesn't say, "Saul, why are you persecuting the bishops?" He doesn't say, "Saul, why are you attacking organized religion?" He doesn't say that. What does he say? "Why are you persecuting me?" Take that one to heart. So we believe this from the very beginning. The church is the body of Christ. But once St. Paul met Jesus Christ, his whole life was turned upside down, and that's the meeting that we, not only that we want to have in our own lives, we can always deepen our own conversion, but we want to try to help lead others too, right? We try to help lead others to that all-changing encounter, because we're living in a life, a world of relativism, aren't we? What's relativism? Well, relativism is the dogmatic belief that there's no such thing as dogmatic beliefs. Relativists are absolutely against absolutes, and they're dogmatically against dogma, and they're absolutely convinced that there's no such thing as the truth. I was talking with a woman once, and she said, "There's no such thing as the truth. There's only your truth and my truth." And I said, "Is that true?" So they don't even realize their own contradictions. Misguided zeal. By the way, well, you know what the answer to the question of who's right and who's wrong in such a discussion? Answer: the one who's rooted in reality and not in their idea of what they think reality ought to be. That's part of what it's like to meet Jesus Christ. I've always said this. Faith is not an intellectual adherence to a set of abstract ideas. Faith is not the memorizing of dogma. Faith is not, you know, your assent to a creed. Faith begins with an encounter with a person. Now, you can't make that convert. You can't make that encounter happen. You can't make it happen. Jesus is absolutely sovereign and completely free, and he will reveal himself to a soul when he's darn well ready, and he alone knows the time. You can't make that encounter happen for anybody. However, you can grease the skids, so to speak. You can help make it much easier for that encounter to happen. Let me give three ways to do that. Three ways. The first is relentlessly live the best example you can possibly live. I believe it was Mark Twain who once said, "There's nothing more irritating than the annoyance of good example." When you give somebody else a good example, when you will not exchange insult for insult, when you will not escalate a fight and get angrier and angrier and one-up somebody else, when you insist on living by our Lord's commandments and his word in spite of what the rest of the world does, you give people a good example. And you want to know what's interesting about good example? People might not tell you that it makes a difference, but they can't help but notice. It always makes a difference. How many people in your life gave you good example in your past and you never told them, and it changed your life? I bet you can name a half dozen people, right? I know I can. Half the Roman Empire was converted by the good example of Christians, especially their good example when they were being martyred. Just keep that in mind. You can help grease the skids. You can help arrange that meeting between the soul of a loved one and the person of Jesus Christ. Because your good example is something they just can't ignore. That's the first. Here's the second. Encourage other people by letting them know that in God's plan, nothing is ever wasted or lost. You know, St. Paul, he persecuted the church. He did a lot of bad stuff, killed people. Dragged St. Stephen out to the wall and had him stoned to death. Did a lot of bad stuff. And God used all of it to help make St. Paul even more credible a preacher. People said, "The one who was once against us is now for us." And everything worked for the good. It's the way God is. Everything works for the good. So people will say, "I've sinned so badly, I'm a broken instrument, I can't do any good. God can't forgive me." Encourage people, maybe with the example of St. Paul, that nothing is ever wasted and that at every moment of your life, regardless of what you just got finished doing, even the worst sin in the world, you are always perfectly positioned to be God's effective instrument. Help people meet Jesus Christ. Here's the third. Pray for them. Pray for them. Very simple. Pray for them. You know what happens when you pray for people? It's really very simple. You enlighten their mind and you inspire their heart. When you pray for somebody, two things happen. Number one, other people who you pray for, they're given good ideas to think the good of someone rather than the bad, to think the hopeful rather than the despairing, to think the charitable rather than the selfish. Great ideas, they come out of nowhere, it's a consequence of grace. And the other thing is it inspires their hearts. When you pray for somebody, suddenly, for no reason whatsoever, people feel an inspiration and a strength and an ability to do the good, to uphold the truth, to stay cheerful when they feel like being sour or negative, etc. Pray for people. You give them a spiritual unfair advantage. You know, so here on the Feast of the Conversion of St. Paul, my message to you is don't lose heart. Don't look around in the world and say that it's all going to hell in a handbasket and there's no hope. Stop it. Every single person in this world is kapax dei. Do you know what that means? Kapax dei. It means capable of God. I don't care how much of a sinner they are. I don't care what their past is. Every single person is made by God to know and to love Jesus Christ. And you know what? Your job and mine is just to help arrange the meeting. So let's do that and ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Paul, pray for us.